Let us pray. Father, we are grateful that we can gather in this place, a time of holy worship, and we ask that your Spirit would help us in the midst of still crazy times to remember that you are more than able to handle what concerns us today, and that it would truly be well with our soul, for we know that we are loved by a beautiful and powerful God full of grace and mercy. And so it is with humility we present our needs today amongst the church family to you, and trusting that you are more than able to handle the needs we are facing. Whether it be grief or sickness or fear of what is lying ahead, whatever it is, Lord, would you be glorified in our lives and continue to lead us in a path of working with you to extend your kingdom and growing your church here on earth. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to be seated this morning. For those of you that are here with us, we're going to receive our offering today. I'd like to ask our ushers, if they would, to step forward to receive our offering. Remember, you've got an opportunity to support Dollar Difference, as well as our regular tithe, the offering, supporting the ministry of the church. And so may the Lord bless the giving today for his glory and to advance his work here. And for those of you that are at home, I want to thank you for supporting and being a part of the ministry we're doing. May the Lord continue to just use what you give to further his work. And we're so excited that we're partnering together. It's really good. Hey, as our ushers are receiving our offering today, I want to take a moment to ask our kids that are here today. If you'd like to go to Kids Church, then we are welcoming you right now to go. Our staff is waiting on you. Our volunteers are waiting on you today. So you're dismissed. Feel free to go ahead, and they'll bring you back at the end of the service and reconnect you with your family. It's good to have the kids going back and learning and get a chance to make disciples out of the young ones. It's fantastic. We keep the movement going, right? Absolutely. Hey, those of you that are on site with us today, you may have noticed we got a few skunks that have apparently decided that they want to become members of New Hope. And I know we don't discriminate, but that's a little pushing the boundary. And so thank you for your patience on that. We've been working on that, trying to correct that problem. And so we continue to work on that. So hopefully we get that taken care of this week, finally. So, but again, thank you for your patience. And also, I'd say, you know, your patience for us, because it's kind of different. You know, we're so used to having, people singing and on stage and leading us. But with the season that we're in right now, for us to be able to have what we feel is a safe way to, in the area of singing, to allow us to gather and praise together and be guided in song. And so I just, again, thank you for participating in that. I know it's a little different, but it's just for a season. And so I just want to thank you for that right now. And I really appreciate that. It means a lot for you guys as we take this journey together. Feels like we're getting closer, doesn't it? Feel like we're getting closer to the end of it, but we're not there yet. So we're going to patiently try to keep persevering together on this journey. Goodness gracious, it's been a time, hasn't it? You ever make mistakes? So for those of you that are online with us today, let me just catch you up to speed. Everybody laughed when I asked that question because it all hit home, right? You know, there's times where you got some mess ups, some mistakes. I remember a time for me, it just sticks out in my head. I was working in accounting. I started in accounting, then I switched careers and went into pastoral ministry. But I was working in accounting, and we were at the end of the month, and I did not realize that I had made a fairly significant mistake. And so the higher ups saw it, and long story short, came and talked to me and said, here's what happened. This is your area. Do you realize what you did? And I said, no, I didn't catch it. And they said, no, we have to restate our financials for the month because it's too significant. We've got to fix it. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. I didn't even realize that I had done that. Jeez, I felt so, and I felt bad. And I thought, well, let's add it to the list of mess-ups on my long list of, you know, of lifelong mistakes and mess-ups and things that I've done. And I'm going to come back to that later. There's a couple in the scriptures, in the book of Genesis, called Abraham and Sarah. And they are a couple who knew what it was to mess up. There was a time when, you know, God had actually called Abraham to leave where he was living and to go to the land that he would show him. And didn't even tell him exactly where it was. He just said, I'll show you where this is. And so they go, and when they get to Canaan, which is the land, then they find out that there is a famine in the land. And so with famine, you don't have enough food to eat. And so somehow they hear that Egypt has enough food. And so they decide they're going to go to Egypt to get some food. And so when they're going down there, Abraham realizes, Sarah, you're a beautiful woman, spoken like a good husband, right? And he says, you know what? Pharaoh's going to take you to be his wife. And for him to do that, he's going to have to kill me. Because that was the rule of the land. And I don't want to die, smart man. And so what he says is, you know what? Let's pretend that you're my sister. And that way, I won't die. And so that's what they do. And of course, she gets, sort of taken by Pharaoh into his sort of group of wives there. Well, later in the story, they are no longer in Egypt. And, well, Abraham had been told by God before that he was going to have more descendants than what? Than you could sort of count the stars in the sky. And Sarah's looking at where they are going, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to have a baby. I think those of you, that ship has sailed, and I think that is done. And I'm tired of waiting. You know, it doesn't tend to turn out too well when you get tired of waiting on God and just take matters into your own hands. At least that's been my life experiences more times than not. But Sarah says, hey, I have this servant here, so why don't you just have a child with her? And that's what they do. Well, a little bit later, these divine messengers of God come to their place. And Abraham's a good guy. He brings them in, and he says, let me feed you. Just kind of hang out, rest for a while. And they tell Abraham, hey, Sarah's going to have a child in about a year. And Sarah is kind of earshot, hears that. And you know what she does? Do you remember? She starts to laugh. Well, isn't that, you know, you just kind of imagine, isn't that the funniest thing? You know, it's a hide. She just starts kind of laughing. And, well, they know, and they call her on it for not trusting. Now, those three stories, you know, they were basically just boiled down to kind of one thing, was Abraham and Sarah making decisions based on the fear of the unknown over trusting in God, which we call faith. Right? Being moved to act by fear more than trusting God and making a decision that's based on faith. Well, like any good story, and if Paul Harvey was here, he might say, now the rest of the story. How many of you know who Paul Harvey is? And by hands, okay, well, we've got enough of you. I know who Paul Harvey is. That's good. I always hate to like use that, and folks are like, who is that? It's like, so I'm assuming maybe at home you know who Paul Harvey is. But he's a wonderful, powerful storyteller. And there's more to that story, as often he had more to tell with his stories that he was sharing, that God didn't give up on Abraham and Sarah. That, in fact, he met their mess-ups with mercy. That's my theme for today. that God meets mess-ups with mercy. So how did he do that? Well, if you're not totally familiar with the stories, let me tell you that in the story, that when Sarah is connected there with the Pharaoh in Egypt, God brings plagues upon the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh gets perturbed and releases Sarah and says, you know, to Abraham, why did you do this to me? Why did you not, you know, tell me what's going on here? And he releases her. You remember that child I told you that Abraham had, not with Sarah, but with Sarah's servant, Ishmael. And he says to him, or he says to Hagar, the mom, when she gets sort of sent away, hey, I'm going to do something great with your son. He's going to become a great nation in and of himself. It's not going to be the same thing that's going to happen with Abraham and Sarah's child, but he's still going to be a great nation. And you know, Sarah became pregnant with Isaac. God honored his word. Even though she laughed, right? God still brought mercy into the moment, into the mess up. It's a very similar thing. If you know the story of Israel, that's a very similar storyline to when God got the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Do you remember the story? I'm not going to tell the whole story this morning, but raise up Moses. Moses comes in. They're crying out, and in their moment, they're experiencing what they had basically walked themselves into over a series of a few hundred years. But there they are. God hears them. God raises up Moses. Moses leads them out, plagues upon the Pharaoh in Egypt, leads them out into the wilderness. God had mercy on his people, even though when they're in the wilderness, what do? They, again, are crying out to God and struggling and not being grateful and saying, you know, God, grief, we might as well just go back there because out here we don't have anything, but at least we had stuff back there that we needed to be able to eat. We'd eat better back in slavery than we would in freedom. Why don't we just go back to where we were? And this is why the Levites in the book of Nehemiah poetically said this. But our ancestors acted arrogantly. They were stubborn and wouldn't obey your commandments. They refused to obey, and they didn't remember the wonders that, you know, you accomplished in their midst. They acted arrogantly and decided to return to their slavery in Egypt. Now watch. But you are a God ready to forgive. I like that. Merciful and compassionate. Very patient and truly faithful. You didn't forsake them. God met them with mercy. Isn't that nice? God met them in their mess up with mercy because he had promised that he would take care of them. He promised that he was going to bless them. You know, today is the second Sunday in Lent. You believe? I mean, Easter is April the 4th. It's going to be here before you know it. This year just already feels like it's flying by to me. But this season that we're in the season of Lent, is our Christian season that's leading us up to Easter and is a time that we are reflecting on God's mercy that has been given to us. In who? In Jesus Christ. That God chooses to bring salvation to the world, and Jesus Christ is born and goes to the cross and he dies for our sins and he's raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. Hallelujah, you know. He is risen. That God saw us and knew our plight, and he chose to respond with mercy. Not condemning, because he knows every one of us, right, have sinned and fallen short of the glory and the perfection and holiness of God. But he says, you know what? I'm choosing not to condemn you. I want to choose to have mercy upon you because I love you. And I've created you more than the pain of the sin that you are living in. I've created you for so much more. And I want to make that available to every person. We have our own sins. We have our own mess ups. It's things that cause us pain. Stuff that tempts us. Maybe even tempts us to feel ashamed. Oh, the stories we could tell, as the song says. The heartbreaks, the hardships, the headaches, the hiccups, the hang-ups, the hurts, just can be a mess. It can feel as though it's absolutely overwhelming. Maybe you were struggling to get out of bed this morning. Maybe. You're going, my body just aches. My legs aren't working like they're supposed to. My back hurts this morning. I just feel under the weather. You know, oh my goodness. Don't want to wear a mask for another day, you know. Gosh, I know I got to do this again today, and I'm so over it. Maybe you woke up feeling super anxious about your health today. Maybe you know that you have kids, and when your kids get up and they're getting ready for school, or when they come home from school, they're just going to be bickering with each other and just getting under your skin, like kind of like your last nerve. Maybe the funds are running low, and you're not sure how that's going to get solved at the end of the month. Maybe you're struggling with the temptations of an addiction, and they just keep coming and coming, and it doesn't quit. Maybe you feel ashamed because you've hurt somebody, and honestly, you're afraid that they're never going to treat you the same again the next time you see them or you talk to them. And you're ashamed and you're afraid. That's real life, isn't it? I mean, that's real life kind of stuff. Hiccups and hang-ups and hurts and hardships. Heartbreaks. That's real. Does it feel real for you? It feels real for me. But let me turn the page, though. Because the beauty of, as real as that is the reality that God's mercy is just as real every day. In fact, the scriptures tell us that God's mercy never ceases being available. Yeah, just in the general, that every person can, you know, have the mercy and from God and get up every day. You know, go work the farm, go to work, take care of the kids, right? But if we get hurt, we mess up, we make a mistake, we miss the mark in loving God, loving people that are around us, God has enough mercy to go around for us all. You may feel like, oh, he's going to run out. If he got enough mercy to cover all my stuff. Let me tell you what. Yeah, he does. He is absolutely enough. His mercies are new every morning. Every day, God has more than enough mercy to meet you right where you are and whatever stands in front of you. Because he's God. Well, why don't we just go to the cross? You know, the beauty of this cross is that when we see it, and we think about what it means for us, it points us to the reality that, you know what, in our mess-ups, God met us with mercy. That the Lord did not ask you to get it right before he would make you righteous. Now think about that. I on more than one occasion have heard someone say to me, I feel like I need to get my life right before God will accept me. And that's actually backwards. God accepts you where you are. And the message of the cross is the gospel proof that he accepts all of us right where we are. He knew what was required for us to be where we have this longing in our heart to be. And so he went to the cross to make that possible, but not just to die on the cross, but to be resurrected from the dead. Well, happy Easter. All of that together so that we could be forgiven, that we could have a new life in the midst of our mess ups, have hope. It doesn't feel like there's maybe any that we can grab a hold of. But he says, I've got plenty for you to grab a hold of. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle Peter wrote, on account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter is writing to people to help them to know there is hope. You say, I can't take all this corona stuff for another day. I bet. But you see, God's not done yet. And God offers mercy to give us hope, to give us strength. I just want it to be like it was. I'm so tired of it being so different. I bet. Me too. And yet, the cross is a daily reminder that it's not about us getting life back to where we want it to be. It's about the mercy of God meeting us in the moment and strengthening and giving us hope to move forward in the moment. Sometimes here's a hard way to see it, but I think it fits. Mercy is not about making us happy. Mercy is not about making you happy. Well, if God were merciful, then he would fix this and he would make it so that my life would be better. That's not what mercy is about. That's what the flesh wants it to be about, but that's not what the mystery of mercy is all about. Mercy is God recognizing that even though we don't deserve the gift of his grace in our lives, that he still provides it so that daily we can know him and walk in his peace. It's about meeting you in the moment with what you need to take another step, not what you need in order to feel happy. It's that kind of mercy that God meets us with in the mess ups. This is why faith is so important. Because faith chooses to believe that this is the case, even though I can't see how my moment is going to get to where I want it to be. And there's nothing wrong with wanting your moment to be something that you want it to be. That's totally okay. But when it falls short of what you want it to be, what do you do in the next step? Do you step forward, trusting that God will give you the strength you need to move ahead, even though you don't deserve it? But he sees that he loves you. And in his righteousness, he's more than happy to provide you what you need to handle what concerns you today. It is a beautiful gift from God. Because of that mercy, we have an alternative way to live and to think. We can flip the script, if you will. You know, I started out with my story telling you about when I was working in accounting years ago. And when they called me out and said, hey, you made a mistake. And you know how it tends to go? You make a mistake and the higher-ups are not happy about it. It tends to roll downhill. And your manager tends to come to you and then you, oh, right, just the flack just seems to kind of roll downhill. Well, here was the beauty of my experience. And I was so grateful my manager came to me and told me what had happened and said, here's what happened, here's what we have to do in response to that. Do you understand what you did? No, I didn't, but I see it now. Okay. Let's not do that again. Okay? It's caused a lot of extra work for people, and so let's not do that again. Yes, sir. I'm going to do my best. Okay. Now, from that point, there's two things that can typically happen. They can hold it over your head and always use it to, like, you know, sort of drive you. Hey, you remember that, what you did? Or they can move on. And what I was so grateful was that in mercy, they moved on. And I didn't have to go to work every day feeling that they were going to hold it over my head. I didn't lose my job. I did get written up for it. Made the mistake. I owned it. Confessed it. And turned around and said, I don't want to do that again, right? That whole idea of repentance that we talked about last Sunday in Isaiah chapter 1. And because of mercy, it endeared my heart to that company. Because I knew that, guess what? It mattered more. I mattered more to them than the mistakes that I made. That it was about me. They valued me as the person. That, yeah, we all make mistakes, but we value you. You matter to us. It was part of the culture. And so we'll just work. We'll move forward from it. And I was so very grateful for that. For us, we can wake up in the morning and look at our day and go, ugh. You ever done that? I can't do this. But we can flip the script, and we have an alternative way to respond first thing in the morning because of mercy. God, thank you that I woke up with breath in my lungs and you have safely brought me into this day. God, you are so merciful. Oh, I don't even want to deal with the bickering that's going to happen this morning when I get, you know, with the kids. But God, thank you that I have another day to teach my kids to trust and follow Jesus. God, you are so merciful. Lord, I wish I had more finances in my bank account, but my needs are being met right now. God, thank you that you are merciful. I'm struggling with the temptations of this addiction that I've carried with me for years, but God, I'm still not overcome by it. Thank you that you are merciful. Lord, I know that I have sinned and I've confessed that to you, and your word and the message of the cross and the empty tomb says that I am forgiven. And so I choose to believe that I am forgiven. And God, I choose to thank you for meeting me with mercy and not condemning me for my mistake. Thank you that you love me that much. Thank you that cross tells me that you've met my mess ups with mercy. I know that my day may not make me happy, but Lord, help me to remember that mercy is not about happiness. Mercy is about you meeting me right where I am with what I need to honor you, even though I don't deserve it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. I am better off because you have loved me with mercy. Just give thanks to God that because of Christ, you can flip the script. I mean, you can choose negativity and pessimism, and you can be bitter about it, and just like wearing masks. I mean, we can choose to be bitter about that stuff, and church on Sunday mornings is not the way we want it. We'd love for it to be all together and to be singing and praising, and we'd love to not have to wear a mask in church, and we'd love to do our thing like we've always done it, but that's just not our reality at the moment. So we can either be bitter, or we can say, God, thank you for your mercy that we in this moment can still even gather together. Thank you that there's hope lying ahead of us. Thank you that you love us, and I'm still alive to praise you for another moment. We can flip the script. But that's the choice you and I have to make every single day. When we go to work, and when we're at home with our families, when we come to church, when we're interacting with our neighbors, that's our choice. I want to encourage us, think back to what God has done. Abraham and Sarah. The cross. The resurrection. Your own salvation. That you're alive still today, stepping forward into another moment. God has been merciful. And He's not done. If we confess our sins, John says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong. I want to encourage you to take that to the bank, if you will, as the saying goes, and hold on to that. Let it be a reminder to you. Welcome His mercy in your mess ups. Don't let it be a license to sin, but let it be a daily reminder of God's unending love for you. And for your neighbor, pour it into your life through faith. Let the promise of mercy fuel your hope and your joy. And I love this, and your peace. In mercy, may the peace of the Lord be with you in every moment. Let Him meet you with mercy. Would you stand and pray with me this morning? Let us pray. Lord God, we are thankful that You have chose to meet us and our mess ups with mercy. Every single day, Your mercy is unending. We thank You that Your mercy is not an exchange for our perfection, that it is a gift that You have intentionally and lovingly chosen to pour into our lives and into our hearts, and we want to say thank You. May Your blessing of Your Spirit continue to go with us as we live each moment in acknowledgement of the mercy that is unending and always available. We can get through the moment because of You. And for that, we give You praise and thanks today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're going to go into this rest of this day. And any of you at home, wherever you are, you're going to go into your day. And you don't know what's going to lie in front of you. Some of you know a little bit, but you don't know it all. And let us remember, we have a choice in front of us. Choose mercy. Choose to be merciful. Even when you don't feel like you want to be merciful, choose mercy. And do so remembering that God was first merciful with you. May the Lord give us grace and mercy as we go out into the world to be His people on mission, to make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. Thanks for being with us today. May the Lord bless you as you go. His peace be with you. Amen.